Thank you, church family, for singing to the Lord. It's a joy to do so together. Thank you, band, for playing. Maria, again, thank you for your testimony. It's a joy to hear the story of God's work in people's lives, and it just stirs my heart. Well, I remember as a kid going to the mall. Malls were these things that, like, people would go to, and they had stores. It was before internet. And I don't know if any of you guys remember those things called malls. So I would go to the mall and they had a kiosk there. And the kiosk was weird because you went up and there were these posters at the kiosk. But they were kind of like gibberish. Like there weren't anything on there. It almost looked like static electricity or something. It was like just staticky looking. You go up and you're like, well, what is this? And as a teenager, you're like, well, this is interesting. So the person's talking to you about these posters, and they were called Magic Eye posters. Maybe some of you guys remember this. So you stare at the poster, and you've got to kind of get your eyes unadjusted. Like, it's just kind of weird. And then, like, a 3D image pops out, and you're like, whoa! And, like, your friend beside you might get it before you do, and you're like, wait, what is it? And like you may be seeing half of it, and you're trying to figure that out. It's been there the whole time. The image is there the whole time, but it takes a while. It takes concentration. It takes time to have that magic eye 3D image pop out. Well, it feels like to me over the last several years, I've spent hours staring at Scripture, studying Scripture, and something has popped out like a magic eye poster. It's been there the whole time, but honestly, I didn't see it, or at least I didn't grasp the importance of this image. I've talked to our church a lot about this before, but it's important to consider now, and that is our union with Christ. How being united to Christ changes everything, and seeing union with Christ all over the Scriptures. Theologian John Murray said it this way: union with Christ is really the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. Now, if union with Christ is such a central truth, we must consider how that intersects with our message series on the Holy Spirit. You see, it's tempting to think of Jesus over here doing his thing and the Holy Spirit over here doing his thing, or even more that the Holy Spirit's kind of a replacement of Jesus, a pinch hitter for Jesus, a substitute teacher. But Scripture corrects that and clarifies that. The Holy Spirit is actually the bond that unites us to Jesus. Let's look at a quote, kind of stare at the magic eye poster for a second and see what jumps out. Professor and theologian Marcus Peter Johnson says it this way: to say that our union with Christ occurs by the power of the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is himself the bond who unites us to the living Christ. Christ sent the Spirit not so that we might have a roughly suitable replacement in his absence, but that we might enjoy the actual presence of Christ through the Spirit. The Spirit is the personal manner or mode of Christ's dwelling in us. Thus, in the Scriptures, we see that the presence of the Spirit is closely associated with the presence of Christ and is even called the Spirit of Christ. That's a great quote. It's super helpful, but is it biblical? Like, it's great to have a PhD person writing, but we've got God's Word. And say, is that biblical? Please open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to start off looking at three verses. Romans 8, we're going to start at verse 9. And then we're going to plunge into several other passages today that will be on the screen for you. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 9. This is God's holy word. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that your word would mold and would shape us today, not apart from the Spirit, but because of the Spirit. Work in us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So during the last 2 weeks, we've learned a lot about the Holy Spirit. Nathan and Josh did a good job, a flyover of Nathan did Old Testament into the Gospels. Then Josh was doing the Spirit's work in the book of Acts last week. We saw that the Holy Spirit was there from the beginning, hovering, bringing order out of disorder in Genesis. We saw that the Holy Spirit was promised in Ezekiel to be part of God's covenant work, drawing people to God. The Spirit works in and empowers Christ for ministry. And then the Spirit works in and empowers Christ's church for mission. And today we're looking at the Holy Spirit bonding us, uniting us to Christ. The Spirit's not a roughly suitable replacement of Christ, but is Christ in you, the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit manifests Jesus in such a way that when Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age, it actually means something. The Spirit is with us. Massive implications. Point number one is united to Christ by the Holy Spirit. United to Christ by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul is speaking to believers. He wants to clarify to them their relationship with the Holy Spirit. Paul says that the believers are no longer in the flesh. They don't live according to sinful flesh, but they are in the Spirit. They're walking in submission to the Holy Spirit in them. Their minds are to be set on the Spirit, not set on the flesh. To be set on the Spirit is life. It's peace, Paul says in verse 6. Paul calls the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. And Paul says the Spirit is Christ in you, verse 10. But the Spirit is also the one who raised Christ from the dead, so he gives life to our mortal bodies. Though our outer body is wasting away, our inner body is being renewed day by day by the Spirit. This is powerful. The Spirit who raised Christ, who conquered death, dwells in you, believer. If we got that, if we got like a taste of that, that changes things. That changes the way we think about life. We'll hit on some more implications of that in a minute, but let's just note that the Spirit in you is Christ in you. There's several passages that talk through this. Colossians 1, 27, Paul calls the glorious mystery of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We saw this in our John message, John 15, 5. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then like I said a second ago in Matthew 28, Jesus said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then Jesus physically leaves. How is he physically with us, or how is he with us to the end of the age if he's physically gone? Well, it's by his Spirit. J.I. Packer has a great quote that's helpful. He says, the distinctive, constant, basic ministry of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant is to mediate Christ's presence to the believer. Believer, Christ is near you. Christ is in you by his Spirit. But let's just admit, some of you are probably feeling this is really mysterious. This is like kind of, it feels kind of out there, like I can't quite grasp this. This is kind of like beyond me. You're like, Mike, I stayed up late last night. I'm kind of struggling. Like my mind's a little fuzzy. I get it. It's like, this is mysterious. There are elements here that like we're staring at that Magic Eye poster. We're like, I want to get it. I want to get it. And you're trying. Maybe your friend next to you is starting to see it. And you're like, how did they see it? You know, you're just trying to get it a little more. Well, the Holy Spirit is the presence of Christ for the believer right now. Let me give you maybe some helpful categories of the lived experience of the Holy Spirit for the believer. And we'll kind of break it up in three sections that we often talk about with salvation. Now, oftentimes when people talk about salvation, they only talk about one lane of it, but there's kind of three lanes. Salvation, we are saved, but where Scripture says we're being saved and we will be saved. So Scripture, when it talks about salvation, uses all those. Most of the time, we just talk about salvation as we are saved, and we kind of leave it in that lane, but there's more to it if you look at all of Scripture. So we're going to look at those three lanes when it talks about the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you kind of 3 points under point number one right now. So if that's super complicated, I'm sorry. But the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again by uniting us to Christ. That idea of being born again is super important. In John chapter 3, Jesus talks with Nicodemus and says that a person must be born again. They must experience new birth, not physically, but spiritually. They must be born of the Spirit. This is given new spiritual life with new affections and new abilities to both have faith in Jesus, walk in His commandments, walk in that new life, respond in obedience to Him. And Jesus is referring to in John chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 36, who speaks of being born of the Spirit. God gives through Ezekiel kind of three different things going on about what this new life in Him is going to look like. You're going to be washed. So there's a purifying aspect of God's work in this. You're going to be given a new heart. So your old heart is taken out. Your new affectionate heart is given. And then God says, and I'll put my Spirit within you. I'm going to put my Spirit within you. And God says, you shall be my people and I will be your God. You're in me and I am in you. Titus chapter 3, Paul puts it this way. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This is all God's work. This is that I'm the vine, you are the branches, you are washed, you have a new heart, you have a Spirit within you. This is this new covenant, new creation, regenerating work of Jesus that He does in our lives. So we are saved, we're born again. The Spirit works that way. Secondly, the Holy Spirit ensures our growth. We're making, by making us more like Christ. This is what often called, let me give you a $10,000 word, kids, you can impress your friends on the playground, sanctification. Can you say that with me? Sanctification. All right, so this is a progressive growth where we grow more like God, become more like Christ, and come away from sin. That's a big word. You can impress your friends, see if they can spell it or say it 5 times real fast or something like that. Henry Scrugal, a great 17th century Scottish theologian, spoke of it this way. I thought this was a helpful phrase. He says that this growth by the Spirit is this, the life of God in the soul of man. So it's the life of God, God's life working in the soul of man or woman, in mankind, like the life of God working in us, manifesting His work in us. The more we walk out what God has done, we're being who we are. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Paul says it in this way in 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 21. He says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the Lord, who's the Spirit, progressively helps us grow. We behold Jesus, we become more like Jesus. Beholding is becoming. The Spirit unites us to Christ, transforms us to be more like Christ, and causes us to look to Christ and to look more like Christ. That was a lot, I know. But friends, this is encouraging because, here's the thing, we don't, or maybe this is just me, I don't often feel united to Christ. Like, I woke up this morning doing my devotion time and I felt hard. You ever feel that way? Like, my heart just felt hard. And I'm like, I don't know that I sinned during the night. I was sleeping, you know? I didn't like when my alarm clock went off. The coffee was okay. But it was just like, there was just why do I just feel hard right now? I'm just praying, like, Lord, forgive me if there's, you know, spiritual attack, like, in Jesus' name, go away. Like, what's going on right now? I don't often just feel united to Christ, but the Spirit of Christ is in me, and He draws me to look at Christ. He draws us to look at Christ, and it says He transforms us from one degree of glory to another. This is a step-by-step growth in Him. It's kind of like when you go to relatives that you don't see a whole lot, and you're a kid, and they, what do they say? First thing they say when they see you, you've grown so much, right? So they've seen your growth. You're a kid, and you're like, really? Like, I saw you 2 months ago. Like, I guess I grew physically, but I don't really know. And they're like, no, we've seen growth. I saw who you were and now who you are. And you're like, I didn't see that. Well, God grows us in some ways that we just don't see because we're with ourselves every day. That's a weird concept. You're with yourself every day. You don't necessarily see your growth, but God is growing us. He's progressively growing us. So there's an idea, two different ideas I want us to consider with this is one, there's a faithful plodding for the believer by the Spirit of Christ. It's one of my favorite phrases, faithful plodding. This is walking toward Christ faithfully each and every day, walking toward Christ. But I don't want us to neglect another thing with that is the eager expectancy. So there's this faithful plodding of us growing toward Christ, this being transformed day by day. But there's also this eager expectation that the Holy Spirit can grow us really fast. Like, He manifests Himself to us. We'll be praying on Friday night, Holy Spirit, like, work in however you want. Like, snap me, break me where I'm sinning. Like, help me to grow. Help me to have gifts that I don't currently have. Those kind of things. There's an eager expectation as well. So those both go together, this faithful plodding and eager expectation by the Spirit. And notice what 2 Corinthians said. How does this happen? How does growth spiritually happen? Here's what it says. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Friends, the only way you can grow to be more like Christ is the Spirit in you. And the only way you can be encouraged is realizing it's not you. It's the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Galatians 2:20 Paul says it this way. This is maybe a familiar verse, but maybe you haven't thought about it with union with Christ. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. That's union language. It's the magic eye poster popping out. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How does Christ live in Paul? Well, it's by faith, but it's through the Spirit. The Spirit helps Paul to grow and become dead to sin and alive to Christ. So we were born again, we were saved, we're being saved, we're growing, but there's also this idea of we will be saved. Listen to this, friends. The third idea aspect right here is the Holy Spirit's bonding us to Christ can never be undone. Friends, that is a helpful truth. If you're just aware of your struggle, you're aware of your sin, you're questioning, does the Father even love me? The Holy Spirit's bonding us to Christ can never be undone. One of the major implications of the Spirit of Christ in us, is that we are sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says that we were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Spirit is a seal. If you look at ancient movies or letters and stuff, they would put a seal. They would have a ring and put wax on a letter and put the seal on that to close the letter to say, this is from me. This is from me. This has my seal on it. And what Scripture is saying is you are sealed. It's Jesus' seal is on you. The Scripture continues to talk about how He is our guarantee, our down payment. The third person of the Trinity is in you. God is not going to leave you or forsake you. You are sealed. The down payment has been made. You are kept. That gives assurance of pardon. The court documents are notarized. They are finalized. They are certified. Jesus lived on your behalf. He died on your behalf. He was raised on your behalf. He sent the Spirit, Christ in you, and the Spirit now gives you hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, eternal hope that you will forever be with your King. Friends, the Holy Spirit's bonding us to Christ can never be undone. because it's not your work that made it happen. It's Christ's. Ephesians 4 said that we are sealed for the day of redemption. See, friends, the Holy Spirit is not a pinch hitter. The Holy Spirit's not a substitute. He isn't roughly a suitable replacement of Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ, the bond that unites us to Jesus. It is Christ who, in Christ, we are born again. In Christ, we grow in holiness. In Christ, we are kept to the end. And as I was working on this, because there's mystery to this, it still kind of maybe feels fuzzy to you a little bit. I was trying to think through some illustrations of like, how do I communicate this and make this a little simpler and think through this? Because it is really mysterious. And so I was trying to think through different illustrations. My first illustration I was trying to work with was like mayonnaise, which you might be like, what in the world? Where did you get mayonnaise? So mayonnaise is vinegar and oil, and vinegar and oil don't mix, just in case you ever want to try that. But you put an egg and it brings them together. It emulsifies them. So it brings together. So that's how mayonnaise is made. So egg emulsifies. It brings vinegar and oil together. But I was thinking, well, like vinegar and oil don't go together. Like that's not humans and Christ. So that illustration doesn't really work. So then the next illustration, I was like, what about like if you guys have ever like, painted a garage floor with epoxy and you have like two different liquids and there's like a hardener to it and then that didn't work. So I tried another one. And then I was talking to a friend about this and he was like, you know, actually the Bible has illustrations about this. So that's a good point. So let's look at the Bible's illustrations rather than Mike's illustrations because mayonnaise and epoxy are not the greatest illustration here. So second point is illustrations and implications of this union of the Spirit. Three illustrations. First is the temple. The Holy Spirit, I mean, the Old Testament has the presence of Yahweh as a pillar of fire and a cloud. And I love 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. So there's a climactic story going on. David wants to build the temple. King David wants to build the temple and God says, no, your son can. So Solomon builds the temple. So you get to this climactic moment in 2 Chronicles 7 and Solomon is dedicating the temple. And it says this, as soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Fire and power and glory, people hitting the pavement, worship, giving thanks. It's a great picture of God and his people. It's a wonderful picture of like how we respond. There's a lot of connections here to Acts chapter 2 that Josh looked at last week. Fire, power, glory, people humbling themselves before the Lord, repenting. And what's interesting is Paul makes a connection going on here in the New Testament. The holy fire, powerful, glorious presence of God is now in them, in God's people. 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a what? Temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. This you is plural. You all are the fire indwelt power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, church, both individually and corporately. The Holy Spirit now dwells with his people. Christ dwells with his people by the Holy Spirit, Yahweh with us. The glorious presence and power of Yahweh is in you. Romans 8 puts it this way, verse 11. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Lots of implications here. God is with us. His presence is with His temple. You are not your own. So your life is to be lived in the reality that you are indwelt. So you have a mission. You have a purpose. You have a joyful call because Yahweh dwells in you by the Spirit of Christ. So we are not defeated. We don't have to walk around as failures, depressed, cast down. When the fire came from heaven and filled the temple, the people were face down on the pavement. People were not impressed with themselves. The fire didn't come down from heaven, consume everything, and there's this guy standing over here being like, I'm amazing! Me! No, they're looking at the fire. They're looking at the power of God. And they're in awe of God, not focused on themselves. Friends, the temple's filled. We are called to be in awe of our amazing God. Do you feel the significance of that? Is the Magic Eye poster starting to form a little bit where you can start seeing it more clearly? This is a big deal. So, talked about images, talked about illustrations. The first was the temple. Second is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. So Spirit, body. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. So Paul goes on to call this the body of Christ. Many members, many gifts being united in Christ and united to each other. Friends, we're united to Christ and we're united to each other. It doesn't seem that Paul's merely speaking figuratively here. We are kind of like Christ's body. Let's just pull an analogy. No, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We are spiritually united to Christ, living out Christ's rule in our very lives. We'll talk next week about how this works with the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We'll start talking about that in the next several weeks. But what we need to understand is we are the body of Christ. We're united to Him. We're the temple, His dwelling, but also the body, His working in this world. And then there's a third image I want us to talk through when we consider the bond of the Spirit uniting us to Christ, and that is this, an adopted child. An adopted child. Look with me, if you're still at Romans 8, we're going to head over to verse 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So a major implication of being united to Christ by the Spirit is that we are children of God. We are adopted into the family. Our adoption is only understood by the help of the Spirit. The text says that we are all called sons. Now, ladies, in ancient times, the son is the one who gets the inheritance. So you want to be a son, just like I want to be a bride of Christ. So, like, we all have things we have to get over. It's imagery about our union with Christ. And just think about adoption. We're going through this now, several other families. Parents go through long, laborious, costly processes of bringing a child into their home. And then the child has all the rights and privileges of a biological child. I've heard that in some states, you make a will and you can write out one of your biological kids. Like, you don't like them, sorry kids, you don't get anything. But in some states, you legally cannot write out one of your adopted children. You're not allowed to write out an adopted child. I think the state of Georgia, there's some other states, you cannot write out the adopted child out of your will. Friends, we are adopted into God's family, never to be written out of His will. The Spirit seals us. The Spirit indwells us. The Spirit stirs us. And what does the Spirit stir us to do? to cry out, this text says. What does the Spirit have us cry out? Abba, Father, Dad, this relationship. This is a loving, close, intimate relationship of need, of trust, of help. Friends, you taste the goodness of this. You are the temple of God's Spirit, His power and presence. You are Christ's body, united, connected, secure, and usable. You are a child of God, adopted, loved, and kept. My prayer today is that our union with Christ by the Spirit has popped out a little bit more as we stare at the Magic Eye poster to cherish the Spirit through Jesus, to be revered all the more. This past Monday night, I took my lovely wife, Kristen, out on a date. And I'd found this website. I actually sent this to the guys on Realm, so you can check it out there, guys. Ladies, you have no access to it, sorry. Your husband will have to grab it. It's called 50 Questions to Ask Your Partner During Date Night. It's helpful. Guys, we're dense sometimes. We need some other creativity, like, let's help each other. Come on. Question number 17. If you had one mantra to live by, what would it be? Just think about that for yourself. If you had one mantra to live by, what would it be? So we're asking that. We're sitting at Panera Bread talking, and I didn't really know. And so Kristen's like, I think I know yours. And I was like, what? She's like, faithful plodding. I was like, I'll take that. I like faithful plodding. Like, let's do that. And I wasn't exactly sure what hers would be. And she said, you know what I would like mine to be? United to Christ. I was like, dang. United to Christ. She was saying how my identity, and identity and union with Christ go together. Identity in Jesus. If my identity is in Jesus, I don't have to fear. If my identity is in Jesus, I don't have to feel like a failure as a parent. If my identity is in Jesus, everything changes. If my identity is in Jesus, it doesn't matter what somebody else says. If my identity is in Jesus, other things don't matter. I'm secure. If my identity is there, friends, could our mantra as we walk forward each and every day be united to Christ? That's the banner that hangs over me. That's where I get status. That's where I get identity. I'm united to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Friends, let the Magic Eye poster become clearer as we realize the mantra over our lives is that we're united to Christ. And as we're united to Christ, we commune with Christ all the more by the Spirit. Would you, and your mantra be, I'm united to Christ by the Spirit, and that changes everything. Let's pray. Father, you initiated through sending Christ, His substitutionary life, death, resurrection, ascension, and He sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ to dwell in us. And so, Lord, let us believe by faith that you are near to us. Your presence is near to us. You are working in us. You are the temple. We are the body. And so, Lord, where we're lacking power, where we're just more aware of being a failure than biblical successes, Lord, where we are struggling, we're drawn near by your Spirit even now. Lord, mold and shape us by your Spirit even now. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit even now. You are a faithful God. Lord, as the fire filled the temple, the people declared, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Oh Lord, let us be aware of your goodness. Let us be aware of your love that's steadfast, unchanging. Mold and shape us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.